oftentimes with cancer, the treatment, you have little control because it's so scheduled, it's so regimented. So find out where you do have control, which means asking questions so that you're as prepared as possible for what to expect when you're getting treatment.
This is Jen Pennington, your host at Listen Up Bell 27. Today we've got Laura Takas, LISCW, MPH. Laura is the Mental Health Program Director at Station 2 Clinic in Belltown. Today we're going to guide our listeners through the emotional and mental health impact of receiving a cancer diagnosis. Laura, welcome back.
Thank you, Jen. It's great to be here.
Laura, we know today's topic is cancer, and it hits close to home for many. When a firefighter receives a cancer diagnosis, what's typically happening on the emotional and psychological level in those first few days or weeks?
First things that generally happen, fear, the unknown, a lack of control, which is very much uncomfortable for firefighters. They want control. They work well with control. And having a cancer diagnosis, there's ambiguity, there's unknown information, and it can be really difficult to navigate the unknowns. So there's a lot of fear. There's also anger. Why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my family? And so there's myriad emotions that are going on, but primarily that's what I've seen. Anger, fear of the unknown, perhaps of loss. There's going to be, even though the diagnosis or the prognosis might be unknown, there's a lot of fear around what am I going to lose? What family? How are the changes going to impact them?
And I think you hit on it by, you know, talking about the control, that feeling of losing control a little bit, because they are used to being strong and decisive. So how does a diagnosis like this challenge their identity, and what's important to normalize in that experience?
Knowing that they're not alone, that many people outside of the firefighter world receive cancer diagnosis, so they're not alone, even within the firefighter community. Other firefighters have had diagnoses before, so they don't have to go it alone. And the best way to find control or to regain control is to ask questions. Ask questions to the provider. What can be expected, if that can be answered? But also, what can they expect from their family and their supports, the crew, recognizing what they need from their support systems?
There's a lot of fear that comes with the word cancer, even though many cancers are treatable. How do you help clients begin to manage that fear and uncertainty?
Focus on what you can control. So that can be done by asking questions, as was just mentioned, staying as healthy as possible, leaning on your support system, learning about the cancer and the prognosis, and taking one step at a time, that the information is not going to come all at once, meaning how it's going to be treated or what the outcome is going to be. And so practicing skills that you use on the job to take things one step at a time. What do I do today? What can I do today? And what can I put off until tomorrow?
How would you look at having people not getting overwhelmed and just shutting down?
I believe that when people feel like they're not alone, they're not going through this alone, that goes a long way to not feeling overwhelmed. And also remembering, what can I control today and what can I put off until tomorrow, when maybe more information is available by my providers, by my family, by my crew, by what my job is going to look like. So remembering that you don't have to have all of the answers today, but answers will come.
When I hear you speak about this, one of the things that I also think about, and you mentioned it in the beginning, is how do grief and anger show up in this process, even when the prognosis is good, say? What would you say to someone who's feeling guilty about their reaction?
That this is a human reaction to something that is uncertain, cancer, because nobody knows how it's going to play out. And so being able to release yourself of the burden of the heavy burden of the feeling of guilt. That is something that I would encourage any firefighter, anybody with a cancer diagnosis, that if you have a reaction that you might feel uncomfortable about or embarrassed about, to be able to set down that guilt, because it's a human reaction.
And as we talk about, you know, this human reaction, I think we're also talking about engaging a support system, like you've just said. But how can someone just start letting others in when it feels so hard or it's vulnerable to do so?
Realizing the benefit that you do have supports and allowing your supports to play a role in helping you carry this new burden.
And can you talk about the role that families and crews can play in supporting somebody through treatment or recovery? What guidance can you give to those people who actually show up? You know, it might be for a loved one with cancer or a crewmate. How, you know, what is the advice you would give to someone like is that showing up for them?
Ask what the firefighter needs and follow their lead. If they're saying, I need just some space to process or I need to talk, then allow that, give that to them, not making assumptions about what they need, just asking the question.
In some ways, we can also talk about staying connected to a feeling of joy, even in hard times. Maybe what kind of practices or small rituals could help firefighters anchor themselves during treatment or recovery?
Staying present to what's important to them. That could mean connecting with family members a little bit more intentionally. For example, maybe hugging your children a little bit longer, a little bit more, telling your spouse, I love you, being more intentional about how you're spending your time. Because again, what cancer offers is ambiguity. You don't know how it's going to swing. And so take whatever opportunities you have now, current day, to bring as much joy and calm and peace into your life as possible.
Tell me a little bit about some ways to mentally prepare for those heavy days, whether it's test results, medical procedures, treatment side effects, so the emotional impact doesn't hit quite as hard.
I think one of the best ways would be able to put, again, their skill as a firefighter into play, that they've trained for hard days at work, and this is another hard day. And so what skills can they take that they use on the job to help them when they're going into doctor's appointments, for example, to get information, or when they're getting treatment? They do not have to do this solo. They can call on their family, call on their crew. Oftentimes with cancer, the treatment, you have little control because it's so scheduled, it's so regimented. So find out where you do have control, which means asking questions so that you're as prepared as possible for what to expect when you're getting treatment. Even bringing comfort into the treatment room, for example, snacks or a book or music or something that is grounding to you. My clients have been the most benefited when quelling anxiety and soothing themselves, when they're actually able to visualize the day, for example, of treatment, the day they're going to get their first dose or their first treatment. So visualize it, play it out in your head, and see what you can do. Remind yourself what you can do to help it be as calm and as comforting as possible. That might be bringing somebody to the appointment, or to bring something that is grounding to you, like a book or music, or when you're actually getting the treatment, but also keeping in mind the afterward, meaning doing something to take care of yourself, resting a bit more, talking about what that was like to get your first treatment or your third or your last treatment, something to be able to decompress. Again, these are all things that I think firefighters generally go to when they're on the job. And so what I'm encouraging people is to really put it into practice when you're off the job, but it takes the same amount of skill and compassion with yourself.
You're talking a little bit about the beginning of the process, but there's also this point too where perhaps a medical crisis, you know, has passed and the cancer treatments have been done. Is there still anxiety, trauma, or fear of reoccurrence? And can you address that a little bit?
Absolutely. A lot of the clients that I've worked with that have received cancer diagnosis or chronic illness, they find it beneficial to actually journal from the first day, from day one, about how this experience has been and what has helped them get through it, meaning who identifying who showed up for you, who's taking you to the appointments, how you went through, how you got through the difficult days of treatment, so that they're able to look back and say, I've gone through this once, I'm familiar with it, I know how to navigate it again.
And Laura, if someone's listening to this who's just received a diagnosis, or maybe they're supporting someone who did, what do you want them most to hear and take to heart right now?
That you don't have to do this alone. That there are people, there are supports, people in your life, whether that's family or your crew, that care and that are willing to be there and help. And whatever emotion you feel is valid. This is human emotion. It's not a sign of weakness. If you get help, it's actually a sign of strength, something to do to take care of yourself, just like you would taking care of yourself as a firefighter.
Laura, thank you so much. It's a hard topic, but I think you've given it, you know, a nice grounding in talking about people and their support systems. If anybody is having issues right now, I hope they're listening and gaining something from this. Thanks again.
Appreciate it. Thanks,
Jen. Thanks for joining us. Listen Up, Bell 27 is a Seattle Firefighter Healthcare Trust production. This podcast is produced by the Rhizome Collaborative. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.